Beware the new technology religion. What I'm about to share with you could fall under the umbrella of the war against Adonai on our Tuesday evening Bible study, where we look at the battle that transpires both from within the body of Messiah and outside the body of Messiah. The battle within occurs primarily from those who identify as believers, yet their intent is to deceive and lead astray. For Kepha warns of such dangers in 2 Peter. But among the people there were also false prophets, just as there were false teachers among you. Under false pretenses, they will introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, and thus bring on themselves swift destruction. Many will follow their debaucheries, and because of them, the true way will be maligned. In their greed, they will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their punishment decreed long ago is not idle. Their destruction is not asleep. So you have the battle that occurs from within. Then you have the battle, the obvious battle that occurs from outside of the body. Those who are actively intent on attacking all aspects of the body of Messiah and one's faith, demeaning character, undermining credibility, and denouncing the God we knowingly, lovingly follow and serve. So I share this with you because I believe today I'm going to share with you something that is external, yet it impacts us as well. I doubt many of you have heard the term transhumanism or transhumanist. If you have, you may think it means something different than it actually does. The prefix trans means across, and appears in the English vocabulary in such words as transmit, transform, transcultural. Consider the word translation, which is the carrying across from one language to another. We in the congregation use the word transliteration, whereby you are taking one language and phonetically presenting it in another language. We take Hebrew and present it in an English form for the purpose of pronunciation. So this idea of transhumanism, what is it? It is a philosophical movement, the proponents of which advocate and predict the enhancement of the human condition by developing and making widely available sophisticated technologies able to greatly enhance longevity, mood, and cognitive abilities. So enhance the length of life, promote one's mood, and enhance or improve your cognitive, your mental, your brain capacity, so to speak. I share this with you because of an article I read this past week. And the title is Transhumanists Aim to Replace God with Machines Through Digital Immortality. It's immoral on its surface, but the idea is immortality. The article begins in this manner. Transhumanists have hyped the new religion of high technology for decades now. The basic idea, fairly prevalent in Silicon Valley, is that rapid advances in scientific knowledge and technology innovations will culminate in our de facto omniscience and omnipotence. Even though humanity is lost in a godless cosmos, digital devices will allow us to transcend our ape-like forms. In other words, it's taking the idea of eternity and digitizing it. Google has a gentleman who works for the name Ray Kurzweil, and he quipped, "Does God exist?" he asks. I would say, not yet. So who is Ray Kurzweil? He's 69 years old, and he leads a team of about 35 people at Google whose code helps you write emails. How many have a Gmail account? How many, when you write an email to someone and you get a response back, there are some options at the bottom of how to respond? That's him. That's him and his team. So the author of the article, his name is Joe Allen, and I have links throughout that you'll be able to see everything that I'm sharing with you. He continues, "One day soon, they promise we'll use artificial intelligence to overcome the limits of our meat-based cognition. According to Yuval Noah Harari's 2015 bestseller, Homo Deus, computer programmers will realize the age-old fantasies of shamans and prophets by creating a virtual version of the spiritual realm. These Davos darlings are certain God is dead, but Google still wants to patent his best ideas. We have seen a lot of strange things occur in the name of science, and yet I make you aware of this little-known movement of transhumanism because you are seeing pieces of it today. It is more prominent than you realize and impacts your everyday life." For a moment, though, let's go back in time, 50 years, to a much simpler time and consider the original Star Trek series. Star Trek debuted on NBC. The show tells the tale of the crew of the USS Enterprise and its five-year mission to boldly go where no man has gone before, aired from September 1966 to May 1969. Its airing did not last as long as its five-year mission. Yet in its brief first encounter, it became a futurist's muse in captivating the minds of scientists. And just to let you know, a futurist is a person who studies the future and makes predictions about it based on current trends. So consider what was introduced by the series years before their actual invention. So in 1966, you were introduced to the communicator. 1996, the flip phone. 30 years difference. 1966, you're introduced to widescreen or large screens to where you have big screen TVs today. It's hard to see, but Lieutenant Uhura has a little communicator in her ear. Bluetooth today. Here you have a tablet that Captain Kirk is writing on. 2009, 2010, you have the iPad come out. Teleconferencing. You have the little television. You have the computer on the side. Today, we're broadcasting online via teleconference. Although it's not really teleconference, it's video conference. So, here you have a number of things that have occurred, not because of Star Trek, but you might say Star Trek was, in essence, previewing the future to you. This idea. And keeping in mind, this is only a sampling of things. I could have done a whole Star Trek thing, and I'm not really a Trekkie to begin with. I could have gone on about Siri, Alexa, and Cortana, voice assistants, and IBM's Watson. In other words, talking computers. Your phones talk to you. I mean, as a phone, you're able to talk to someone, but you have an audible voice recognition system within your phone that can talk to you. I have a Windows, which is Cortana, and I constantly have to turn her off, because she keeps wanting to interact with me. So why am I sharing this with you? What seemed implausible at the time has become a reality, and that's part of our everyday life. We did not have to go hundreds of years into the future, but merely a generation or two. The development of artificial intelligence, which is a wide-ranging branch of computer science concerned with building smart machines capable of performing tasks that typically require human intelligence, is the pursuit of nations with the intent of gaining control of people. Yet the romanticized aspect of transhumanism is extending one's life. Consider this excerpt from the article. The concept behind digital resurrection goes back to the ship of Theseus. The paradox articulated by the ancient Greeks. Imagine you have a huge wooden ship. You gradually replace the rotten boards with new wood, plank by plank. Eventually, every old part has been replaced by something new. Is it not the same ship as before, only better? Transhumanists seek to do the same with the human personality. Every neuron will be replaced by networked processors and then some. For example, to preserve himself for future immortality, Alexei Turchin submits the details of his life to ubiquitous surveillance. In addition to keeping a trivia-packed diary, he records every conversation, videotapes his behaviors, and wears an EEG headset while making art or listening to music. He has faith that one day some godlike artificial intelligence will use this tedious information to resurrect him. You might say, this really doesn't affect me. I don't believe in artificial intelligence-based resurrection. Well, then consider this, again from the article. In the blink of an eye, we saw the rapid migration of personal interaction to social media. It's now normal to document a child's life for public consumption by total strangers. For many, the privacy barriers have already been broken down. We've made ourselves vulnerable. The craziest part is that most have enjoyed it. Doing so without actual thought. Consider that nothing is free. Yet has anyone paid even a penny for Facebook's access? You may not have paid tangibly, but you have paid and continue to pay. What you don't see is revealed in the fine print of the user's agreement, whereby you have given Facebook permission to use your personal data in exchange for the use of their platform. Consider this observation. In all of this, we see an increasing detachment from the real world, a visceral struggle, heartbreak, and redemption. Without these challenges, people don't develop character or deep social bonds. Anime-obsessed man-babies are a symptom of this tendency. The insane desire for digital immortality is another. Think of it this way. Not too long ago, people played video games. Now it's an entire industry where people are online. People train and actually earn an income playing video games. They can earn upwards of 6, even 7 figures if they're that good. Technocracy is being normalized at an alarming pace. If a population can be convinced that kids need state-supplied hormone blockers to become self-realized, it's only a matter of time before they're ready to upload their souls to corporate data banks. In fact, just hack into their smartphone and you'll see they're already doing it. So what's happening now is what you don't see. One of the darker tenets of the techno cult is that their innovations are necessary for survival. Anyone who chooses to reject body modification, cognitive enhancement, or mind uploading will be like job applicants who came to a job interview with no smartphone or social media account. How does the interview process work today? Normally, you submit an application, you go for a face-to-face, and that's the primary aspect of your job interview. But now they search online to see what your history is, what comes up, so to speak. Now they're doing video conferencing as interviews. So the realm of interaction has changed. The idea of your information being private is really now a fallacy. What is transpiring is really no different than our ancestors' pursuit as influenced by the adversary. Consider Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any wild animal which Adonai God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You are not to eat from any tree in the garden?'" Here we have the introduction of deception. It's introduced, and ultimately we become prey to it. Genesis 6:5. Adonai saw that the people on earth were very wicked, that all the imaginings of their hearts were always of evil only. Then we have Genesis 11:4. Then they said, "Come, let's build ourselves a city with a tower that has its top reaching up into heaven, so that we can make a name for ourselves and not be scattered all over the earth." The very sin-laden heart still exists today with the pursuit of the cult of technology. Only this time it isn't a tower that is being built by the means to capture one's immortality and thus a technological resurrection. Consider the words given to Daniel as a warning of the future. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. "When the time comes, Michael, the great prince who champions your people, will stand up, and there will be a time of distress unparalleled between the time they became a nation and that moment. At that time, your people will be delivered, everyone whose name is found written in the book." So here you have a warning, but not a warning of the sky is falling, but a warning of the sky will fall, but you will not be consumed by the falling sky. Many of those sleeping in the dust of the earth will awaken, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting shame and abhorrence. This is the resurrection and the judgment that God is revealing to Daniel. But those who can discern will shine like the brightness of heaven's dome, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, keep these words secret and seal up the book until the time of the end. Many will rush here and there as knowledge increases. We've been seeing this. It's an exponential increase over the last 100 years, 50 years, 20 years, and I'll share an example with you. So knowledge is increasing at an exponential rate. Just consider the phone. One example. In the 1870s, Elisha Gray and Alexander Graham Bell independently designed devices that could transmit speech electrically, not electronically, electrically. Both men rushed their respective designs for these prototype telephones to the patent office. Within hours of each other, Bell patented his telephone first and later emerged the victor in a legal dispute with Gray. Today, Bell's name is synonymous with the telephone, while Gray is largely forgotten. But the story of who invented the telephone goes beyond these two men. It would not be until 1973, nearly 100 years, that the first cell phone was commercially introduced, a phone without wires, known as the brick. If you've ever seen an old cell phone, they were huge, basically. They looked like a brick, talking bricks, so to speak, going from talking computers back to talking bricks. That given its size, it would be nothing like the phones you have in your possession today. For those keeping track, we're talking roughly 100 years from the invention of the wired phone to the introduction of the wireless phone. From 1973 and the introduction of the wireless phone, advancements would continue with the rapid build-out of communication towers, thus creating independent cells whereby transmission of a signal would occur. By 2000, the year 2000, cell phone carriers Verizon and AT&T were promoting nationwide coverage. 27 years. 100 years from the introduction of the phone to 27 years of the introduction of the cell phone to nationwide coverage. Cell phones were not intelligent at first. They were basically a phone and nothing else. Then from the brick came the flip phone. And it was introduced in 1996, 23 years. The advancement in technology is decreasing in time, yet its capabilities are expanding over time. From the flip phone to the smartphone, first being the BlackBerry in 1999, where you could send and receive email from your phone. BlackBerries were the be-all and end-all for the financial district. I mean, how one put this, it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Then the iPhone and Android, which are Google phones. You either have an Android, which is basically a Google-based phone, or you have an iPhone, which is Apple. That these phones with touchscreen capabilities and the ability to connect to the internet were introduced in 2008, 12 years from the flip phone. Notice the shrinking duration of time between innovations. Knowledge is increasing. Consider further that on June 3rd, 1969, Star Trek was canceled. And on July 23rd, 1969, Neil Armstrong set foot on the moon. The computers used to direct the mission were not nearly as powerful as the phone you have in your hand. The introduction of the first microprocessor, the Intel 4004, contained 2,300 transistor circuits on a single integrated circuit, on a single chip. And this was used for processing, typically computation of numbers. While the iPhone 12 uses the Apple 6-core A14 Bionic processor containing 11.8 billion transistors. I didn't do this before, but I did it while we were in between. The human brain. The equivalent of the human brain transistor is a synapse. There are 125 billion synapses in a human brain. 10 times the capacity of Apple's processor. So we have more capacity up here than you have in your hand. Yet you can't look at the two the same way. The increase in knowledge is real, as are the trappings that come with it. We don't think twice about the technology around us as it has been introduced into our lives. Yet the subtle means by which we have come to embrace that which we can't imagine ever having lived without should cause us to pause for a moment. The concern is in where these advancements are heading. The adversary is known for his subtle influence and use of others' words intended to accomplish his mission. Consider Matthew 4, 5 through 7. Then the adversary took him, Yeshua, to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, jump, for the Tanakh says, he will order his angels to be responsible for you. They will support you with their hands so that you will not hurt your feet on the stones. Yeshua replied, but it says, do not put Adonai, your God, to the test. So quoting Psalm 91, the adversary would use the very words of Adonai to tempt Yeshua in the second of three attempts. Thus, I believe he will and does utilize that of others for his own purpose, to deceive the body of Messiah. But am I saying that all technology is evil? Absolutely not. Am I saying to toss your smartphones and let's leave the grid? No, I'm not saying any of this at all. I'm making you aware of what you may not be aware of. Today was to share with you things that you are not likely aware of happening as we speak and at warp speed. Consider the words of Joseph to his brothers when he revealed himself to them. Genesis chapter 50. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God?" he asks. "You meant to do me harm, but God meant it for good, so that it would come about as it is today, with many people's lives being saved. So don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he comforted them, speaking kind to them. Technology is not in the place of Adonai, yet many are intending its use to circumvent Adonai, creating a virtual resurrection. Benjamin Franklin conveyed that the only certainty are death and taxes. Even with all the technological advancements, this observation still remains true today. We have not found a way to avoid death, even though there is an entire science known as cryogenics to freeze the body in the hope that someday someone will find a cure for death. Consider, no matter how high we build the tower of technology, we will never reach the throne of Adonai. We can't go to him, but he will come to us. Consider Ezekiel chapter 43. "I heard someone speaking to me from the house, and a man was standing by me. He said, 'Human being, this is the place for my throne, the place for the soles of my feet, where I will live among the people of Israel forever. The house of Israel, both they and their kings, will never again defile my holy name by its prostitution, by burying corpses of their kings on their high places.'" So what is God saying here to Ezekiel? "You can't come to me, but I will come to you." Is this not the promise of the resurrection? He gathers us to him. We're not sitting with him right now. Even those who have gone on ahead of us do not sit with him right now. And let me close with the inspired word of Yochanan from his second letter. "Children, this is the last hour. You have heard that an anti-Messiah is coming. And in fact, many anti-Messiahs have risen now." So we're not just talking about one, but the influence of the adversary. Those who speak against Messiah are considered anti-Messiah. But there is one who will be over and above them all, so to speak. "They went out from us, but they weren't part of us. For had they been part of us, they would have remained with us. But you have received the Messiah's anointing from HaKadosh, the Holy One, and you know all this. It is not because you don't know the truth that I have written to you, but because you do know it, and because no lie has its origin in the truth. Who is a liar at all, if not the person who denies that Yeshua is Messiah? Such a person is an anti-Messiah. He is denying the Father and the Son. Everyone who denies the Son is also without the Father. But the person who acknowledges the Son has the Father as well. Let what you heard from the beginning remain in you. If what you heard from the beginning remains in you, you will also remain in union with both the Son and the Father. And this is what he has promised, eternal life. I have written you these things about the people who are trying to deceive you. I have shared this with you because there is great deception going on all around. No technology can produce or even replicate that which the author of life has promised. For it is the author of life that offers the sole authority pertaining to a life that is resurrected. Therefore, know what is happening and do not be deceived. Again, I've shared with you the history of things as they pertained and as they have forgive me for using this word because it's true, as they have evolved, they have improved over time, they have become more capable over time. Thus, the potential to use them for such things that are contrary to God. The simple brick from Genesis 11 was intended to build a tower up to heaven. Yet the brick itself wasn't evil. It was those who intended to use it. And this is what I'm saying about the things of technology. This is what I'm saying about the things that you probably haven't heard of, that doesn't make the evening news, that likely doesn't appear on your news feed on Facebook. But you need to be aware, because just as things have entered society and become adopted and accepted by society, which we never thought was truly possible. Oh yeah, wireless phone. Yeah, whoever thought of something so crazy? That the crazy things that you're seeing and that I've shared with you today may not be so crazy 10 or 15 years from now, that even believers might be deceived. So consider this a look into the future, but remaining secured in the Word of God and the promises of Messiah. Daniel said knowledge would increase. It's increasing. Yet how that knowledge is used, it can either be used for good or for evil. Trying to create a virtual resurrection. It sounds funny, but people are believing it. And the more it becomes mature in nature, artificial intelligence. How many have heard of Watson? Watson is the IBM computer that competed on Jeopardy. So, what was far-fetched is not far-fetched. So pay attention to what's going on around you and be careful of how you use the technology that in essence has been provided for us. So if everybody please rise.